Here's a burning question, folks. Here is a really burning question. Beth Koblan, are you there? So, what should a three-year-old buy, a credit default swap or a passbook savings account?
Tough question, John. Let me think about that one.
Joining us from the Situation Room at the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability, where she is a member, our good friend Beth Koblan is down in D.C., actually meeting with the Advisory Council on Financial Capability, talking about financial literacy for kids, right?
Yep, that's one of the topics we're going to be talking about today. It's one of the subcommittees that I'm on. And, you know, just at what age do you start thinking about this? And what are the topics people need to do to teach to their kids, whether they're 3 or 13 or 30?
Well, go to thetakeaway.org. This conversation has already been going for a while. People have various sort of ages and stories about financial literacy in their own families, and you can weigh in at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Also joining us is a professor of educational psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Chuck Kalish joins us. Good morning, Chuck.
Hello.
So how would you describe the state of financial literacy in America? And you get a pretty good window on that as you see kids coming out of public schools and private schools and coming to the University of Wisconsin.
Well, I think the state of financial literacy is pretty bad. We know from measures that adults do fairly poorly on formal measures of financial literacy. And in some ways, that's kind of surprising because people interact financially and make financial decisions all the time. So it's kind of curious why we're so bad at it.
You know, it seems that kids have different sorts of innate talents. In my particular family, not to dwell on this too much, Beth Koblan, maybe you can give me some insights here. My 9-year-old son is an inveterate saver. He literally has been saving since he was like 3 years old, and he has hundreds of dollars in a little box under his bed. My 12-year-old...
Two of those.
You have two of those. Fantastic.
Two kids like that.
My 12-year-old girls spend everything. Have almost nothing saved. We've taught them the same stuff about money. Any advice?
Well, it's really interesting because I think a lot of the research that Chuck has done in Wisconsin and starting to be done is that for kids at really young ages, it's not about the four quarters equal a dollar. It's more about money equals choices. And I'm sure you stress that with all of your kids. But for some kids, just really, hammering home that issue that if you have a dollar, that dollar can buy you, as I did with Elmo recently on Sesame Street, that a dollar can buy you two apples or one mango, but you can't have all three pieces of fruit. And choices are one of those key issues that kids of really, really little kids understand.
Choices, sacrifice, planning, it's all there in financial literacy. Beth Koblan, takeaway contributor, part of the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. Any advice, Chuck Kalish, and how do you teach financial literacy without teaching just avarice, money? I want more of it. More.
Right. Part of the story is that a lot of financial literacy is just habits. And so if you develop routines at home and kids learn to save, then those kind of habits follow them through. And so it's important to stress that a lot of what we're interested in isn't necessarily some complex thought, but rather just some good habits. But it's also, I think, the case that the phenomena are not that complex, that we deal with this every day. And when kids exchange things, they decide whether to consume something now or wait till later, or they decide whether to exchange with their friends. These are all opportunities that parents have to explain how exchange works and how choices work to kids without having to go to the bank or, get a credit card.
You know, Beth Koblan, I mean, I started teaching my son about money from a very early age. I would tell him a budget. Like I'd say, we're going to the zoo and we've got, $45 and that's what we're spending for the zoo and help him keep us within that budget. But what I'm going to ask you is sometimes teaching them the choices doesn't keep them from getting a sense of entitlement. How do you then keep kids from thinking that having is the same as deserving?
Right. I really agree with that. But I think having those limits, that $45 limit, is really important in that you say, look, we have this limit. This is what we can spend. If there are other things we want one day, we have to wait for it, just like we wait in the zoo to get into the monkey house because there's a long line, or you wait for your birthday coming up. You also have to wait for things you want and their long-term goals. And I think that act of waiting is research is showing and and we're seeing more and more, is equivalent to saving, the setting a goal and working toward a goal. And I'm a real believer in not letting kids live in a paperless world. You know, it sounds not politically correct, but the idea of, you know, having kids use that money, touch that dollar. You know, research shows that when you use plastic in credit, you spend twice as much than if you use regular dollars. So use some paper. Let them actually go to a bank. You know, don't let them think money just comes right out of the machine, but actually using that paper and signing up for a bank account may make a real difference for some children.
It's Beth Kobliner down there in Washington on the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. Chuck Kalish, to that end, how do you teach kids that interest is an important sort of engine that drives the financial system as opposed to a punishment for borrowing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the challenge there is understanding why someone would let you have money in the first place. Like, what's in it for the bank to give you some money? And that idea of taking the other person's perspective in a transaction. It's not just about what I want, but about how does my interacting partner get something out of this? But then interest starts to make sense. It's a kind of something that you're getting from the bank to have the privilege of having money, just as when you go to the store, you give the store owner money and he gives you a good. So this basic idea of exchange, that there's got to be something in it for both parties, is, I think, one of the keys to financial literacy and something that can start quite early.
Finally, Chuck, do you think that financial literacy, if it ever comes about in a real tangible sense, would help bank regulators deliver transparency and prevent excessive risk?
I think that's right. I think that people should get used to thinking about financial transactions as not something esoteric that has to involve, you know, pages and pages of fine print in a cell phone contract, but something that they can understand as part of their everyday lives. And so they'll start to have higher expectations about what they should understand about the transactions they engage in now. I think people kind of punt on the issue. They think it's so complex that they're willing to take whatever banks give them.
It's Chuck Kalish. Thanks so much. Professor of Educational Psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, researches and develops financial literacy curricula. Beth Kobliner, you know, that Mozart in the womb kind of thing to encourage intelligence. What if fetuses heard Warren Buffett's voice in the womb?
Exactly. Or the ka-ching of a cash register.
Yeah, something like that, maybe. They'll become
trying to scare fetuses all over the world.
take care of their poor parents in their old age. Beth Kobliner, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure, you guys.
Get more of Beth at our website, thetakeaway.org/blog. She's got a blog there. And here is a response I know you'll enjoy, John. Penny Pound from Wall Street writes at our site, "Since I love money so much, I want to train my son to love money too. I filled his playroom with hundreds of dollars of my spare change. He has fun with all that shiny. I've told him he can't come out till he counts it all and gets the amount correct. Is it too early to expect the right answer? He started to get impatient, and I caught him trying to give away some of it to a little friend who was outside playing. How can I teach him the importance of hoarding?"
There's no way that that's true.
No, I'm pretty sure she's sarcastic. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.